Our text this morning is the Old Testament and the New Testament gospel reading this morning. If you would turn to the back of your worship bulletin, you will see both Daniel chapter 7 and John chapter 18. We pray. Lord, use this time. Focus our energy on your word and the meanings behind what you have written so many years ago that still invade and guide our life. In your son's name we pray. Amen. And so from Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, and as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was as white as wool. His throne was flaming of fire, and its wheels were all blaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. All right, so this morning, this is what we're going to kind of start to figure out here. There are things that we need to kind of go over, things we kind of just don't understand, but there's sometimes in word usage, there's two different categories that can be used, and one is figurative, the other is literal. When mom says, go clean your room, what does she mean? Literally clean your room. Okay, I just want to make sure because those can be taken two different ways, all right? So figurative, when we look at our gospel reading here this morning, if you would circle this first concept called the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days. And so this is Old Testament. We don't have the New Testament where Jesus calls him Father. All right. We just have the Ancient of Days. And so what are we trying to get at here? This is figurative language because God, you don't go before him and say, hello, Ancient of Days. You can, but there is something behind the words that are written. So Ancient of Days, literally, if you want to call someone old, you call him the Ancient of Days. You call him the Ancient of Days, which basically means before days you were there. All right? And so this guy is really, really, really old. He's so old. He has clothing as white as snow and his hair on his head. He still has hair. All right? And it looks like pure wool. Pure wool. So we're talking about someone who quite literally is old and but also very wise. And so interesting enough is this is what he looks like. He uses human attributes. Does God actually have human attributes? No. Why does he then tell us that he has human attributes? It's because it's relatable to who we are and what we go through that God would tell us using figurative language. And so interesting enough is, you ever see the throne here? Think of the throne, and there are angels all over the place. And when it says thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, literally what the writer is trying to say is, I didn't stand there and actually count each one. Literally, it's too much to count. So literally, he is saying the whole place was just angels everywhere. And there's just somehow this fire that comes around. And then all the other writers talk about the sea of glass around the throne. And so there are different things that it's trying, the writers are trying to tell you. So figurative language with fire, when you think of fire and a throne, I want you to think of power, all right? Power, ultimate power here. When someone sits on, when the king sits on his throne, he is about to pass judgment, or whatever he says goes. So in this text, he is trying to say, whatever happens next, listen up, because something is about to happen, all right? So when we take a look here from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we do a small shift. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. All right, so figurative or literal? Yes. That's the correct answer. All right, but literal attributes is, he is literally talking about someone with human attributes standing before the Ancient of Days. And so quite literally, when we talk about the Son of Man, here is when Jesus comes to earth, he is described as literally the Son of Man in the Gospels. And so there is a direct link, what we're talking about, a direct link when Jesus comes and is called the Son of Man, direct link with this passage here in Daniel as the one standing before the throne of God. So it's a direct link, literal direct link between these two people here. So if we can call the Ancient of Days God the Father, then who would we call the Son of Man? There's only one answer, and it's Jesus. And so, interesting enough, is Jesus stands before the throne of God. To some of us that would say, well, that would make Jesus a lower form, a lower being. It's not. What we're literally calling here is that Jesus is the sent one. The sent one. He is before the throne. You are my representative. You are going before me as myself to the people. And so when we see that Jesus comes to the earth, he is literally saying, I have come from the Father. Literally, exactly what we're seeing in Daniel. He is literally standing before the throne about to go into this idea of being sent. All right, and so the last thing here is, don't forget that the throne of God, all power, all glory, has been given to this guy. So he's not less than; he is the same. He is the same. That's a tough concept, and even tougher for the Pharisees when Jesus comes and says, "I have come from the Father." They don't understand. We'd rather hand you over because you cannot be God because God is in heaven. They didn't understand that even in the Old Testament, Daniel right here, we're talking about the literal Trinity being described here in the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes and says, I am God. My name is Emmanuel. And so interesting enough is you get all the same wrapped up in the Old Testament and New Testament. And then we're going to fast forward here because I want to see if, is there a correlation? Are we talking about two different people? Are we talking about two different circumstances? Because John 8:33, if you would read this with me. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And literally what we are asking ourselves is, why did Pilate ask this? Pilate's trying to figure out how he can get away from starting a rebellion outside and keeping him in line with Caesar and Rome. And so he's caught between a rock and a hard place, literally. And so he is talking to Jesus and saying, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king or are you someone else? All right, are you an imposter? And so interesting enough is as you go down, Jesus answered, do you say this on your own accord, verse 34, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests had delivered you over to me. What have you done? That's a very interesting question. What had Jesus done? Jesus had called himself God. The Pharisees said, there's no way. The Trinity can't happen like this. He is handed over saying, this cannot be God, but we cannot kill anyone. That has to be from Roman standard of execution. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And so we're taking a look here. My kingdom is not of this world. Is he right? Is he literally, is he figuratively answering this? And everything is yes. When you think of the throne of God, when you talk about the kingdom of God, it is both here and now, in the future, in the past. It's all there. And when Jesus is saying his kingdom is not of this world, he's literally trying to say is, I'm not going to overthrow your power, but literally my throne in heaven encompasses everything. Do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. And interesting enough, does anyone see the interesting correlation between verse 14 of Daniel chapter 7 and the correlation here in John 18, verse 37? Let me read from Daniel. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, in his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. And then, if you would read with me, John 18, verse 37. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. See the correlation? That's very... It's almost ironic and blaring you in the eyes. Here you see before the throne of God, someone given power and dominion, glory, everything. Someone being called God, sent by God to us, standing before Pilate. Do you see this all-powerful? This guy that could have looked Pilate in the eye and says, you're gone. Do you see the irony here that God is standing before Pilate, and instead of wiping him off of the face of the planet, God is saying, I will allow you, because I do have all the power, in order for you to question me, and not even question me, to rule over me in this circumstance. Does everyone see a God who is showing his power? Because sometimes we don't see that using your power also means not using your power. Not using your power. Because in order for the entire Old Testament to be fulfilled, therefore Jesus had to be crucified. All the prophecies, everything that was looking forward. And here is the crucial time in which he could have told Pilate, I have done nothing wrong. And Pilate could have went out there and says, okay, I'm freeing this guy. And yet, he had to say nothing. He has all power. He made the stars. He made the planets. He made all the things that you can look up and see. All the astrophysics, the physics, the chemistry, everything in science. He knows all and created all. And yet, at the same time, he stands before Pilate and cannot really say what he wants to say. He's saying, I am giving you the choice. I am giving you the freedom to do what you need to do. Yes, I am a king, but you will also see that, remember the throne of God in Daniel, of the power? Jesus is saying, I'm allowing you to go out before the Jews and to sit on your throne, on your seat. It's called the judgment seat. And I'm allowing you to do what you need to do, because there's something greater at work here. And so he says, you must kill me. You must. Everything, every second of all the time that has ever been created up until that point was pointing to Jesus needing to be crucified for you and for me. And so this man who has all power and dominion, all glory forever, is to be crucified in the most inhumane way. And he does it for you and for me. Is or is that not power? To be able to withhold what you really could do and yet do it for the good and the sake of all. Let's pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, what a beautiful thing that you have shown us this morning. That, Lord God, even though you stood before a lowly man, even though you stood before a man who didn't have anything else, you allowed Pilate to hand you over to be crucified. Lord God, what an amazing thing that we studied here this morning. That, Lord God, even as we are looking forward to the day in which we get to celebrate this happy thing of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, as we look forward to the little baby born in Bethlehem, we also remember the story of Daniel, in which you literally stood before God the Father to be sent to us for one purpose and one purpose only, to give your life for our ransom. Lord God, what an amazing thing to thank and praise you for. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.